this, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Terrible! Oh, it's an horrific tragedy. But planes go down in bad storms more often than shiny, cloudless days. Don't let yourselves get too involved. I know we all fly, but let it go and look forward to another incredible year with the American Adversaries and the Drive Time Hour on AM 660 The Answer. I'm Lair Adams, and we don't pretend to have all the answers. Just the greatest guest in Central Florida. Our host is here to intro radio's best, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us, the American Adversaries, in Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer. Coming to you once again, very, very live from the mercury-free broadcasting studios. Don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist. He's been at my dentist for about 30 years now at 407-678-3399. I'm dreading the day when he retires. I hope he doesn't. All right, so welcome to the show. 407-774-8255 is our number here on New Year's Eve. I know, folks. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve. And certainly I hope you folks are going to be joining us over at Cafe Positano for the New Year's Eve party tomorrow night. But I hope you'll stay with us all night tonight because we don't have guests on the show tonight. We got regulars. That was Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. And we have two of our very best regulars on the show with us today. And that would be Colonel Danny
McKnight. Yeah, but they're the best.
Best of the best. Colonel Danny McKnight, thanks for being with us once again.
Always happy to be with you guys.
And, of course, we got Mike McBath in the studio with us again tonight.
Hey, Mike. That guy.
Hey, you remember my last words?
You're your boss.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Love the way you sang that, too, on the show last week.
You're going to put Tony Bennett to shame.
I tell you what, this guy's a crooner. Did you know that, Colonel McKnight?
No, I'm not sure I wanted to hear it. sounds like I missed a good one.
Well, you'll have to go to our archive. The American AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, our brand new website, folks. So please do take advantage and go there. And if you'd like to enlist in the American Adversaries Army, we would certainly be honored to have you. And one of the high-ranking officers in our Army, of course, is Colonel Danny McKnight. Got a lot to talk about to him about tonight. A lot to talk about with he and Mike tonight. But Mike's got something special for us. He came in here today with a fistful of predictions for 2015. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the list a few at a time so you can digest these. These are political predictions for next year. So let's give us a taste. Give us a couple or three to start with here, Mike.
Well, I think just to get started, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but we got to think of the characters and the way things are situated. My first prediction is Bill Clinton. We all know who that character is, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Will announce, get ready, he is having an affair, no big surprise, with Elizabeth Warren. And he just believes she is so much hotter than Hillary.
I'm hotter than her.
It's that faux Indian blood.
Oh, I mean,
the faux American Indian blood.
You
yes.
Talk about sexy. I'm too sexy for myself.
That's sort of like that Harold and Maude, or not Harold and Maude. Who was the Whoopi and Ted Danson?
Oh, I mean that's a hard picture to even think about. I can tell you.
I tell you what.
I told you that time I tried to envision what looked like Elizabeth Warren, She looks like if you take, remember the old brooms with the, like the hay in the top of the broom? And she looks like a reverse broom with like glasses put into the top of the broom. You know, just a gorgeous looking chick.
But that's terrible. You are disparaging a woman that has, you know, American Indian roots in her mind.
You know, again,
in her mind. Now, she doesn't have any in her blood, but in her mind, she's an American Indian. Now, stop it.
Give us another one.
Well, this one I think we'll all agree with. Nancy Pelosi will be required to read the entire Obamacare bill, but before she gets another injection of Botox.
Well, I guess we're going to finally see what she really looks like then, because she's never.
Oh, that's another winner. I can tell you this.
Once she gets past the title, do you count on her brain? Accepting any part of it.
See, part of the problem is,
can she read?
Part of the problem is they're still writing the doggone thing as we speak.
Well, hopefully that will be her
with
life
the new
journey,
death panels,
you know?
Too.
Right. Oh, I know.
All right. We'll have more of those as the evening wears on here, folks. So certainly we'll look forward to those. I want to go to Colonel McKnight, though. Colonel McKnight, of course, is the author of Streets of Mogadishu, and you can get that book at Danny McKnight. McKnight.com, MCK, and he will autograph it for you. And being he's our military expert, I want to ask him a series of military questions while we have him in the studio. First of all, Colonel, yesterday the Bo Bergdahl report evidently was handed down from the investigative committee to the commander, who is now going to make a decision as to what to do. First of all, kind of walk us through what's happening in this process, where it's going to go from here, and second of all, where do you think that it should go from here?
Well, the first thing is you got to remember that report, though, even though they're going to read it and deal with it, it's going to be sealed from us, from the public, to know they're not what's in there until 2016. That's already been stated.
Why 2016?
I think we changed the commander in chief, don't we?
Yeah.
Then we can't, you know, say anything about that. But what should happen? Bo Bergdahl, without question, as a minimum, should be classified as a deserter. He walked off from his post. He left his fellow soldiers. He is a deserter. And that's as a minimum what he should be charged with, which means he don't get a penny. And I don't care if they put him in jail. I'm not worried about that. Just get him out of uniform. Make sure people understand this guy is a deserter, okay? But what possibly could happen, if they really do this in detail and get down to the nitty-gritty, and you can ask some of the families that I've had the opportunity to talk to whose sons were killed trying to find him, he should be charged as a traitor and charged with treason, because without question, the way they were fighting, we were fighting them, changed when Bo Bergdahl disappeared. Now, why do you think the bad guys changed what they were doing?
Their tactics.
That's right. They changed because they got Bo Bergdahl's advice. Don't even go there and tell me that him being a, you know, POW, you know, and was made to do that and tortured. My Lord, don't even think about it. He should be charged without question. I can't wait to see what's really going to happen, though.
All right. Should he have been, if he were to be charged with treason, that would obviously mean time in Leavenworth.
Yes, that's because that if he gets charged with just desertion, that probably won't put him there, but it will at least hinder some of the benefits he would have received otherwise as a regular soldier.
All right.
If he goes there with treason, you're right, he will spend time.
Unless he gets the commutation.
Yeah. Let's take a worst-case scenario approach here, because, you know, we do have the Obama administration running the show. What would be the least that you would think that they would do to him?
Just tell him they're just going to put him out of the Army.
With less than a dishonorable discharge, but not an honorable discharge. Isn't there something in between?
Less than honorable. But I don't know that they'll even do that. They're just going to say, we're just going to put you out of the Army now. And they may not do anything in terms of, and that would therefore allow him to all that back pay they paid him.
Right.
They're going. He's going to get to keep that.
If that were to happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the report has just been handed to the commander, so there's still going to be a time process here before we even know what's going to happen.
But you know who's going to have the final say?
Who?
The commander in chief. Now, who? Where do you think he's going to go?
He's reading it in Hawaii,
yeah,
Danny.
Yeah. Yeah. While he's playing golf.
Yeah.
And did you see where a wedding was moved because
who
he was
playing
golf?
Who cares about the bride?
Can
you believe that?
Two Army captains.
But for safety reasons, that makes sense with him hitting golf balls. And, you know, this guy's not as coordinated as what a joke.
See, absolutely. It was two Army captains, a man and a woman. Now, had it been a gay marriage, you wonder if they'd have made a move.
Well, no, they never would. Don't worry about that.
All right. We're already up against the first break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Colonel Danny McKnight, Mike McBath, and you, 407-774-8255. Mike's got a whole sleeve full of more predictions for next year, so don't go away. It's going to be a whole lot of fun when we come back. Don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time. Please go to our new website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and enlist in the American Adversaries Army.
On the road again.
Sorry about that.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time. If you are on the road again right now, you know it is sloppy and messy out there, so allow yourself some extra time to get where you're going. If you're not on the road again, you might want to wait until the streets are a little
bit
drier.
And just like Nasal Nelson, blow your nose.
All right. Welcome back. As I said, 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get back to Mike McBath and Colonel McKnight, we do have some breaking news today right here in Central Florida. Our friends over at Florida Family Action, that's John Stemberger and his army over there, have filed a couple of lawsuits here in Central Florida to slow down the stampede, towards gay marriage. The Osceola County Clerk of Courts, Armando Ramirez, has been saying that as of midnight January 6th, unless something else changes, he's going to have the office of the clerk court down there in Osceola County open for people to come in and get licenses for gay marriages. He'll have it open at least for a couple of hours, as he says, as a gesture to the gay community. I don't know if gesture was the right word, but that's what he used. Florida Family Action is suing him. They're suing Buddy Dyer, old Pudge Dyer, because he's been telling the Orlando Sentinel he's going to officiate a mass same-sex wedding on Tuesday the 6th. And Judge Bob LeBlanc is also being sued. He's a district judge who evidently has said he would preside over these weddings. So that's breaking news right here in Central Florida. It's John Stemberger, Florida Family Action. All right, I want to get back to Colonel McKnight. Colonel, since we saw you last, this torture report came out. First of all, have you ever, you were a Ranger Battalion commander. You obviously had to go through Ranger training yourself to get to that. As part of Ranger training, I understand supposedly part of SEAL training, were you ever waterboarded or treated in such fashion? Or are you allowed to say?
Can I plead the fifth on that one? I won't say it was by any means to the degree of way it is done, when it's done properly, like we have done. You know, it came out in the report.
Yeah.
But enough to feel the impact of it. And, you know, it is what it is. And if we look at torture of other countries against Americans, compared to what we have done to try and find out who attacked the United States of America on September the 11th, 2001.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, folks. You know, let's be real. Let's be real.
Yeah, okay. What would you have done? Waterboarded, have your teeth pulled out?
Yeah.
Or your fingernails yanked out? I mean,
I just read something from Colonel Bud Day, Air Force Medal of Honor recipient. Happened to hear him speak at my class when I was in Air Command and Staff. What a phenomenal man. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam for 6 years. He escaped once. When they caught him, he said he got shot. But he said getting shot was the least of what he was concerned about, because the next 2 months, he said, were the most miserable, awful of his life. He'd had shoulders pulled out. He'd pulled out a socket. He had had his head beat up. He can't even use one part of one of his hands. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Something called fire.
And he says, folks, torture is not waterboarding. Okay, it doesn't kill people. Okay, he says what I saw and even what I had to deal with. And he says what really gets me. He said, and I love this because I feel the same way he does. John McCain has no clue what torture really is.
Oh man,
and they and you know they're the same era.
Sure,
but look at John McCain. I tell you what amazes me the way he's gone. He chose not to attack when he should have attacked when he was nominated for President of the United States of America. And he did not attack Barack Obama.
You're saying he's beat up.
He got the first 4 years started for us by doing that. And now he's saying, yes, the CIA torture is absolutely the most awful thing that's ever happened. He doesn't have a clue. I think he is senile. I think it's time for John to go to Arizona and to a rest home.
Retire.
Yeah. Go.
Well,
go.
He's part of the old guard.
I know.
And that is the dynamic that's playing out, I believe, in both parties right now. As the old guard clings to power, as the young bucks are coming up, men and women, you know, and the old guard is going to be in the way for a while.
Yeah, they're trying to say all the things that will keep them in.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're exactly right.
I agree. That's the saddest thing. We have all these people who have destroyed, you know, our economy, have hurt our military, and they're still in office. How do we get rid of these people? Get out and vote. But I agree with John McCain. Yesterday's news, time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that came out, it wasn't in this report, but it's come out in other sources, is that one of the most useful tactics to get some of these guys, to crack was to threaten to send them to countries where they knew they really would be tortured, like Jordan or Syria or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or Pakistan.
I mean, can you imagine, though, if you were like the parent of somebody who was literally burnt to death in 9/11, or they jumped from the
buildings
450 feet or stories high? Do you think you'd just want them waterboard? I don't think so. How about that eye for an eye type deal?
Eye right there. That's what I grew up learning.
That's exactly right.
There's something about that in Scripture.
And there really is.
Well, I want to ask you this, because now you're a man who was in combat yourself, took men into combat as a Ranger Battalion commander, went through what's come to be known as Black Hawk Down. You were the guy that went in there and got everybody, brought them all out at the end of the day. The part of the argument that guys like John McCain make is, look, we can't do this because then the other side will just do the same to our people. How valid is that argument?
I mean, it's not valid. It's not because of what we do. They're going to do what they do, okay?
Period.
And what they do not care at all about life, okay? And when they torture accordingly. They don't really care if you die. But see, we don't do that. We don't do that. And when that CIA report came out, and I mean, they released that thing, I was livid for about a week. Linda will vouch for that one, let me tell you. I mean, I got friends that were in the CIA. I got friends, you know, and it bothers me that they say this, you know, about them.
All right. Well, we have a caller on the line. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're talking with Colonel Danny McKnight and Mike McBath. David, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, Chris, great show, and we just have a question for Colonel McKnight. Really, it's related to the Army chain of command, and probably the first general officer in Sergeant Bergdahl's chain of command. But why hasn't there been an Article 32 hearing to determine what he could potentially be charged with, whether it's unauthorized absence, desertion, treason? But the process is an Article 32 hearing, and I don't believe that's been carried out, has it?
As far as I know, what they've done basically so far, they've investigated this like it was a traffic accident, okay? And they're investigating, and they've put all this information together, and now it's going to be looked at. If the information leads to it, the Article 32 will happen. It has not happened, to the best of my knowledge, either. They completed an investigation, you know? I could have built a new, you know, Pentagon in the length of time it took to do this investigation. It's ridiculous. So the Article 32 needs to be done, but it's going to be based on what they say about the results of the investigation itself.
All right. David, thank you for your question. We appreciate that. Stay on the line. Nick has a question for you, if you would, please.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, we appreciate you being out there. We just have a minute left to go in this segment, but I want to go ask you some questions about Iraq. Talking with people over the holidays, there's a common refrain I'm starting to hear from people who have loved ones who are either in the military or in military support services of various types. There's things going on we don't know, that we're not being told, in particular having to do with Iraq, that there's more troops going in there, there's more troop movements that we're being told about, that we've actually been in skirmishes with them over there, that there are boots on the ground, and they're fighting over there. Are you hearing these same things?
We've got boots on the ground. I'm not really a strong believer that we're doing a lot of fighting, though. I'm really not. Not a strong believer in that one yet.
What about contractors?
They're there.
They're there, too.
And guess what? They don't have guns.
Right.
You know? Not the kind of contractors that we normally see there. If there are some others, they're not contractors. Okay.
All right. Okay, we'll come back. Lots more.
The answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with just a little sample of the brand new medicine there today. How about this one? The military members give President Obama a 15% approval rating. How about that? Why isn't the nation right there along with them? We'll ask Colonel Danny McKnight about that. We'll be asking Mike McBath about this. There's an NFL star who has given his game check to who? A four-year-old with a heart condition. And that happens more often than you know, folks. Also this, brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. You want to go to Australia and eat in great restaurants over there? Well, there's one that has a quote-unquote no-Muslim rule. You'll find that story brand new today, as you will find a list, and it's a long one, so make sure you have plenty of time to read it, of Al Sharpton's racial evils. You'll find everything, folks, brand new every day at SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. All right, that is Johnny B. Badd, and he's coming in tomorrow. He's bringing his Tutti Frutti, and he's going to be on the show with us. So, is that tomorrow or next week? Lord, gosh, I'm losing all track. I think it's next week. I'm sorry.
You better get your,
you're right. It's next Wednesday. Here. Next Wednesday. Yeah, there you go. I seem to have lost my Tutti Frutti. All right. Welcome back to the show. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Mike McBath, and Colonel Danny McKnight. We're live in the studio. The American Adversaries Drive Time, 407-774-8255 is the number. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands. A couple of stories that came up in the Soundbite News Minute there I want to go to real quickly. One had to do with the NFL, and it was Malinik Watson of the Oakland Raiders who gave his game check, somewhere around $18,000, to the family of a little girl who has a heart condition. Mike, that's not so unusual to you. You hear that. You guys participate in that stuff all the time.
No, I mean, I've seen sometimes guys will write out $250,000, $500,000, you know, to the universities. Plus the fact they also forget the time they put in charitable events. So not only are they giving big dollars, but I would say 90% of them, if called upon to participate in any type of fundraiser, would definitely step forward and do the job. You know, a lot of times people are just shy to ask them. I mean, if there's an NFL player, you know, in your local neighborhood, you know, any type of fundraising affair, I'm sure they'll step out and be a help.
And just put that feather in your cap, folks. I mean, that little note in there, because Mike's right here. He's
well,
part
it's,
of our
it's
community.
The old idea, you know, the media always makes it look like it's a bunch of thugs, you know, sort of like this police thing, right?
Yeah.
You have one guy do something that might be questionable, and then supposedly everybody's guilty.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not really.
Yeah.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
He's a graduate of Florida State University, Watson is.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
As soon as I saw the name,
look at that. Yeah. This sounds like a setup to me. I don't know.
He's aching to talk about the Knowles, which we
will
be.
Well, this guy, no. He's licking his chops.
We will be. But real quick, you heard the other story, the 15% approval rating in the military. Does sound about right?
Uh-huh. A little high, probably.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, it's just.
Do you think that it's pretty steady from the enlisted right on up through the ranking officers, or do you think it's more or less on one end or the other?
I think you would find more enlisted. I really do, especially of the upper rank enlisted. Yeah, you know, you get a new private coming in there or something. That's not going to happen. That's going to be. But when you probably hit that E5 level and above, and you're in sergeants and everything, they probably feel the impact more because they're having to take care of those young men and women that are just coming in. So I think they're very strong. And I can tell you, the officer corps is extremely unhappy. Extremely unhappy.
All right.
Well, Chris, one other thing. When you're talking about the NFL and that stuff, you saw the issue with Dominic Sue, the defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. And we hear a number of calls, et cetera, about that. But I always say it's in the NFL, it'll take care of itself. We don't need any outside help because the reality of it is, one guy is not much nastier than the next. And I can guarantee you two nasty guys are going to be better than one nasty guy. And if they see that going on, this guy is not going, he's going to be retaliated upon on the field.
You know how many times that is, though? That's, he's had 8 fines, and this is his 3rd suspension.
He's a slow learner.
And that's being polite, Mike.
Now, where did he go?
Speaking of slow learners, speaking of slow learners, Barack Obama, is one of his achievements in his mind is to end the conflict in Afghanistan. Now, you've been to Afghanistan personally. Do you think that they are ready for the United States to actually draw down according to the schedule that the president has?
Well, based on what I've seen, latest thing is we're going to leave 11,000 is what they're saying there. That's already been adjusted.
Raised.
It was 10,000 originally.
Right. It was 11. Raised. Yeah.
So we're already saying we're going to leave another 1,000. If they're going to survive, that 11,000 is going to have to be extremely active and to have an impact. I mean, that's a big country over there. And they're going to have people spread everywhere that we're going to try to help them with the fight so they can take it over. Well, they will never survive.
Well, and the Taliban are already saying, that they're back in town. You think Afghanistan is going to... Now, it won't end up so much like Iraq because the demographics of the population are much different, mm-hmm. but do you think it could end up being its own version of an Iraq?
Sure, absolutely. It'll be a failure over there. It really will. And look at what just happened in Pakistan. I mean, and Afghanistan's right there.
Right.
Do you think that there's not a connection
killing.
Between the two?
Yeah.
Sure there is, Yeah. But I at least applaud the Pakis. They come out very strongly about how they're going to handle this stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to mess around. They're
you start shooting the women and kids in schools, it gets your attention.
You go straight to execution.
Yep.
You pass jail and all that other stuff. You go straight to execution.
Yep.
Nostradamus is on the line. He's going to join us. He's got some points about Afghanistan. So let me bring him in, and then I want to ask you about this airliner, which they just found, by the way. They found... Asia Air Flight 8501. But that raises some other questions that we'll deal with. Nostradamus.
Yeah, I thought I missed my cue when you said, speaking of slow learners, let's go to... I thought you were going to introduce me at that point.
It just took me a little bit longer to get there. But Afghanistan, any... Do you have anything on Afghanistan?
Only that the Taliban said what we thought they were going to say. As you've said several times on the show, Chris, the Afghanistan tribal leaders will go from village to village saying the Americans are here now, but they're going to leave. And we're going when they leave, guess who's going to be still here and still in charge? And it's correct. They've declared defeat of the U.S. and allies in Afghanistan, and they've declared victory.
Sound pretty typical?
Unfortunately, it sounds pretty typical, pretty correct, about what we're going to see. Because
Yeah. Well, Muslims and people in that part of the world have a saying, and that is that the people from the West have the watches, but we have the time. So all they got to do is outwait us.
Yeah.
And that's something that we cannot allow them to do. All right, real quickly, they did find this airliner, right, Nostradamus?
Yeah, they did. And as expected, they found wreckage starting to come up from the seas outside the Indian Ocean, I believe it was.
Yeah.
They've started to collect life jackets, emergency exit doors, and a couple of bodies. It's expected that all 162 people on board have been lost. But there are people from all over the world coming to help out. The U.S. is, of course, is sending some boats over there, as is China, as is Pakistan, as is Malaysia, Australia, and Thailand, also involved in the recovery effort.
My understanding is they found the wreckage pretty close to where they thought they would find it, about 10 miles evidently off course. Is that what your report shows, something to that effect?
Yeah, that's what it says here. There is right now no clear idea what brought the plane down. They are still trying to recover the black box, and that's what right now Singapore is supposedly sending two underwater beacons, beacon detectors to try to pick up any pings from that black box.
All right. The reason I wanted to bring this up was because I want to talk about Flight 370, MA-370. That's the one that's still missing. This is typical of what happens with it when an airplane crashes into the ocean. You find debris, you find bodies, you find things that will float. Not a single thing has been found of Flight MA-370. Now, Colonel McKnight, I know I've asked you about this on the show before. Would you like to give us your thoughts about MA-370?
Well, what you just said is absolutely so correct. Planes do not disappear, crash in the ocean or on land, and we don't find pieces of the airplane and bodies, like you said. Totally agree. So take that as our one answer. Where is 370? It is, I believe, on the ground waiting to be used, and it's not going to be used by good guys. I think we're going to see that airplane have an impact somewhere. There's a good chance it'll be headed our way.
Well, it's just, you know, this is what happens. Like I say, this is what happens when an airplane crashes into the ocean. Unless it was glided into the ocean like that guy Scully did up there on the river in New York. But that was under ideal conditions, absolutely ideal conditions.
The speed was just right, and he hadn't got a lot of altitude that he had to deal with and everything.
Right.
Exactly right.
And even then, the plane would have left an oil trail or some kind of debris would have still been able to come up from the plane. So something strange, really, really strange happened to 370. And the scenario of a hijacking looks, in my opinion, more likely now after what happened with this flight.
They identified 370 took a course that was totally not supposed to be where it was at.
Yeah. Well, Nostradamus, you still think it went to Diego Garcia, don't you?
You know, that is, at one point, that was the direction when they first lost contact that it supposedly had turned towards. If it had taken a straight line, you extrapolated out straight, it would have gone directly over Diego Garcia.
Now, that's where have a big military base, do we not? Have you ever been and out of Diego Garcia?
Mm-mm.
Oh, all right. Well,
now, Colonel, question. What do you think happened to the passengers of that plane if it was indeed hijacked?
If it was indeed hijacked, probably the majority of them became KIA. They became casualties. They only maybe kept some that they figured might help them if they needed to negotiate somewhere along the line. But I think the majority of them they got rid of.
And they could have done that very easily right there on the flight.
Yeah, just open the door and say, get out.
All right. Okay. I want to turn the conversation to some lighter things now, and Nostradamus, Mike McBath has one-upped you today. He's come in here with a fistful of predictions for next year.
And you know what? I don't know how I can outdo that after hearing the first few he made. I'll tell you what. And, you know, speaking of, you were talking about Bill Clinton. Did you hear what Hillary Clinton's campaign did today?
What's that?
Oh, no.
They sent an email blast out to reporters, many of whom we're on vacation, because right now with the president down in Hawaii, all the political reporters are kind of taking a little chill time between now and the new year. The headline of the email was, announcement. Everybody freaked out, ran to their email and said, what, what's the announcement? The announcement is the Clinton Foundation is going to do a triple match to any donations you make before the end of the year.
Wow, that's exciting.
Thanks a lot, Hillary.
Yeah, boy. Glad I got notice of that one.
Yeah, I tell you
no
what.
No announcements on 2016. Just please give us some more money. And if they're tripling the donations, I thought These guys were bankrupt when they left office in 2000.
Well, you know.
Oh, it's a sad story. $100 million within 1 year.
Isn't that sad?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, Bill's been working the street, so okay.
Well, he's got him a new girlfriend.
Well,
now,
you know, right. Tomorrow, you know? I'm so happy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, swinging right. Check. You
know? I tell you what, him and Liz Warren. Woo-wee. Oh, golly. That's like thinking of your grandparents, you know.
Oh.
All right, give us a couple of more of your predictions.
Well, you know, our good old friend Reverend. I love that word, Reverend. I mean, if it's so irreverent, then call him Reverend. Reverend Al Sharpton will receive, I believe, an honorary divinity degree from Harvard University. The makeup for all the degrees he doesn't have. Secondly, and this is a PS with this one, it said Duke had no interest.
Hey, Dennis, you actually found out he is a reverend, right?
Yes, he is a reverend. In fact, he received a doctorate.
Oh,
divinity,
please.
Actually,
listen.
From Bethune-Cookman University.
Is this going to be like Obama's where we can't see it? Can you show me the transcript?
Honorary.
It was an honor.
Oh, please. Oh, okay. Yeah, come on.
And by the way, he just got that win.
2011.
So
did they also have his grades on there?
No, it's honorary.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I guess maybe somebody finally figured out after all those years that he was calling himself Reverend that he wasn't a Reverend, so he put together himself a little package deal over there with Bethune-Cookman.
Well, I tried to upgrade him into Harvard.
Okay, give us another one.
The next one is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know that hot one.
Oh, yeah.
I believe she'll be arrested sometime in the future in Palm Beach for battery on every male she ever dated.
Are you sure she has dated males?
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
We got time for one more.
The last one is, I do believe, Mayor de Blasio is to receive the 1969 Woodstock Crackhead Award. And it's quite obvious by his actions that he deserves it, too.
All yep. Right. Folks, you deserve more good radio, so stick around. We're coming right back. All right, here we go. Here we go. Ready?
You did that okay. It's easier to just say go
Noles. He wants to keep it simple, you know? I mean, you don't want to hear the Penn State fight song, do you? Pittsburgh has his Panthers. No.
By the way, Penn State, that college, that game over Boston College, one of the best games so far this bowl season, overtime win. That's why they kicked extra points, because they can be the difference in the ball game.
And I think the most unique thing about that game was the game sold out in 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about alumni supporting their team through thick and thin, and boy, we've been in thin.
Yeah.
And these people came out. This year we averaged about 100,000 a game, and now we start the march because with our new coach, if you check our recruiting class, we're in the top 10 right now with 20 of 25. So we're on our way back.
Well, the Seminoles are there. They're in the playoffs, the first college playoffs ever.
Yeah, and I predicted that that was going to be one of the best games, Boston College, Penn State, because they both play so similarly, and
very
they were up
so.
There, and they were going to fill that stadium because they got all the people up there.
No, I know.
It was great.
But it was actually very smart on the people who chose bowls. Those
absolutely.
People, yep. Boy, they got the bonanza because you look right down here. Here comes Oklahoma and Clemson, right?
Yeah.
40,000 people.
Yeah.
What was that compared to the one up, you know, these were lesser records, everything. And probably the tickets up there, you can imagine what you spent for all the whole show up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have to say, I'm a bit disappointed we didn't get a better turnout in the city for this game.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect a much better one.
All right. I want to talk some more football, but we do have a caller on the line, Warren. He wants to talk about Al Sharpton. So let's get the dirt out of the way first. So thank you, Warren. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you. And I hope you're going to be joining the American Adversaries Army and team up with us guys.
Right. And I was out there looking at the website. It's really improved.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this one isn't on Soundbite RX yet. Very similar to your Army in a way. It's Al Sharpton has a something he calls the National Action Network.
Yeah,
NAN. Okay. Yeah,
and he's got all sorts of sponsor levels out there.
Oh yeah, I mean the guy's just a hustler. You know, money hustler, right. Race hustler. You know, this guy is a disgrace to America.
Well,
it's what he is.
It's also the Jesse Jackson extortion technique. Yeah. You give us the money, we leave you alone.
And I mean, well, he's also
maybe I should use that technique.
Now Comcast, and NBC, and yeah. MSNBC.
Yeah, it's a big corporation.
All contributed to this thing. It looks like he's in, up to his eyeballs in it.
Well, you think he might contribute money to pay his taxes, right?
That's the whole thing.
and that's what these sponsors risk by tying themselves to him is getting his stink all over them. And so it's discouraging, but it is what it is, and that's why we're here fighting the way we fight. Warren, we appreciate it. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And we're going to look forward to having you in the Army with us. And by the way, our new website, as you heard Warren refer to it, is at the same website address we've always had, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Please go there, check it out. We are proud of it. And we do have a newsletter coming out. The first one will come out January 10th. And you have to be in the American Adversaries Army, though, to get the newsletter. There's going to be bios in it about all us guys, including Colonel McKnight and Mike McBath, who are here with us tonight. Okay, that's AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And if you want to enlist, it's only $5 a month. Actually, $4.97. So there. All right. FSU. Playing Oregon, Mike McBath's been coming in here telling me Oregon's just going to mop the floor.
Oh, I didn't say that. No, I think it's going to be just about which Danny might agree with me, a very, very close game. And the thing that excites me most is the two quarterbacks, either one or two in the draft. You know, either the Oregon quarterback will be first or he'll be second and vice versa. So I want to see, let's get it on. And but I don't think Oregon has any great defense either. You know, it's not like you're talking – you know, great defense and great offense.
No. And they lost their best player.
Is that right?
Their defensive corner, All-American, was up for the Thorpe Award, won the Thorpe Award, broke his kneecap. He's gone.
I bet you that broke you up.
That bothers me. I hate to see an injury like that happen when you're getting ready to go to a big bowl game like that. That's a shame. It really is.
But I think it's a toss-up. I mean, I don't see anybody dominating anybody. I think it's going to be an exciting game for the FSU people. And, Danny, what'd you say the cumulative record is now over the last 29 games,
last I checked, we're 29-0. So, you know, worst case, we can be 29-1. That's worst case. We could be 30-0. You know,
Hardball signs for $8 million, and your coach gets. Danny, get some money out of your pocket, buddy.
Matter of fact, they just gave Jimbo Fisher a new. For the third year in a row, they gave him a new contract.
I think, too, in this Hardball situation where he signed with Michigan, which is really good for the Big Ten.
Now, Hardball was the San Francisco 49ers coach.
49ers coach, and, you know, he at Stanford, he did an outstanding job at Stanford. He's going to have the same platform, except he's going to freeze. Oh, my God, would I hate to be in Michigan. But it is a case. They're claiming they paid him $8 million a year, but I noticed that on our competitive website at Penn State, they said he got $5 million a year. Not that I feel bad for him, you know.
He'll scratch by on that.
And he's a former Michigan quarterback, so he's going back home.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But, I mean, the reality of it is, you know, Michigan, I hope he enjoys it up there in the winter, but he will create a winning team. But I'm looking on just that side of the Big Ten. They got Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan. Going to be pretty good, you know. So SEC, you know, give us your side, we'll give you our side. You know?
I need your prediction. What about the other game, Mike?
Okay. I think Alabama, Ohio State, going to win, but I was first convinced that Ohio State was going to get killed by Alabama. No. I think this could be 7 points, you know, in that 7-point era, meaning this is going to take some work, and you're going to have to bring your A game, buddy, because after seeing how they played against you know, the previous,
but that was Wisconsin. They don't know how to throw the football.
No, I know. Well,
it's
called muscle football.
All right, let me ask you two gentlemen your predictions. Who's going to be in the final?
The college football final. I'm going to go college football. I'm going to say the finals, Florida State, Alabama.
And, Colonel?
I'm saying the same because I've already got my tickets, you know.
If not, you'll be gone.
All right, Nostradamus, what do you think? College football final, who's it going to be?
Well, I'll chime in with the same two, Florida State and Alabama, but I have a question for both Danny and Mike. First two questions, actually. Do you know whether any college quarterback has ever started 2 years' worth of games and never lost a game in his career? I don't know that that's ever happened.
I'm pretty sure it has not.
No, I don't. I can't.
And the only one that's probably come close.
Guy ever to do it.
Yeah, the only one come close to that was probably Tim Tebow when they went. They had two seasons, but they only got to 19.
That's right.
We got to 29.
Between Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, both of you guys, if you are, let's say, the general manager of a team picking first in the draft.
Marcus, I got him. I'm going to give him his buddy from Florida State.
All right, well, as a matter of fact, the Bucs have, it looks like they're going to have the first pick.
Yeah.
And right, who do you pick? Which quarterback do you take?
All right, let me just lead into this. Former coach, former Bucs coach Tony Dungy is suggesting they take the quarterback from Oregon, Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who you would take, Mike?
Without a doubt. Not even debatable character issues. I'd take it.
The Colonel?
I think Tampa would take Jameis Winston if he comes out. We haven't got that confirmed yet.
Oh.
But if he comes out, I think Tampa takes him if they're smart because he's from Florida. He, you know, Florida State player. He can put butts in the seats. Butts in the seats. Because think how bad Jacksonville did by not getting Tim Tebow on that team when they had a chance to put butts in the seats.
But, you know, when you talk about first round, first picks, okay, how did our guy Clowney the Clown do last year?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. They got less than actually 15 solid minutes, even though he played in a few more quarters. Yeah. But actual solid time is.
Yep.
And the other side thing is South Carolina. They didn't take him, they'd have probably taken Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Boy, they'd have been
he's really
done
well.
We're just about out of time. By the way, folks, we will be here live tomorrow night. So please join us tomorrow night live, the American Adversaries. But, Mike, I know you got a couple of more predictions. Give us a couple more here.
You know, we're getting right down to the wire here. So I think my biggest prediction, and I believe this is in the cards, our wonderful President Barack Obama, I believe that he will eventually leave his wife by the end of the second term and marry Anderson Cooper.
Is that part of that evolutionary process from going from believing in traditional marriage to gay marriage?
He's a metro sexual swinging guy,
and I'm going to have a mixed marriage too. You know, how about that?
This will be beautiful.
Chris, can I tell you one thing?
Yes,
this is something because we've talked about this guy, Alan West.
Yes,
I spent an evening with him last weekend ago on the 20th. Whatever that weekend was, speaking at the Alan West Foundation. And I am just overwhelmed how smart, how great that guy is. Our country has made a serious mistake by not having him reelected.
Yeah.
And he is on his way to Texas. He will be in Texas now. What a great man, though.
Wow. All right. Yep, Colonel Alan West. Now, that was Colonel Danny McKnight. Of course, Mike McBath, our man, our union boss, and Larry Adams and me, Christopher Hart and Oster Dennis. That's it for tonight. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative. AM 660, The Answer.